Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. We are going to be going to alternating open Tuesday night calls before long as we start the new webinar series on really advanced information on dealing with foreclosures. And
yes.
If everybody is getting ready for that one. But it is the 12th day of August, 2014. You've got some of the moderators with us. Jesse is here. Why don't you go ahead and do a quick disclaimer of such here, and I'll see if I can snag our other moderators.
Yeah, no problem, bud. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us again. Dave's right. I'm about ready to start. I got about 80% of the documentation redacted, and I'm talking there's hundreds of pages of information. I worked on that all day Sunday, so that's going to take us through the entire six-year period to win a trial at foreclosure, and what a waste of time it was. So I get to that. I know it sounds kind of odd, but 6 years, and at trial, 5 minutes later, we changed it, so that'll give you some idea of what you're facing or could be possibly facing and how to win. And these are the little things they don't want you to know that, of course, if we wouldn't have been on the ball, we wouldn't have been successful at it. So for those of you that are joining our call for the first time tonight, welcome aboard, guys. Tonight, of course, I got to give my normal disclaimer that legal information is not the same as legal advice, and nothing on this call should be taken as legal advice because it's not intended to be. And as Mr. Mack always says, we wouldn't even know what the heck legal advice is. So if you're looking for legal advice, go hire yourself an attorney. We are not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys. Matter of fact, we have a lot of attorney friends, but we still are not attorneys. So at the end of the day, guys, legal advice, go see a bar licensed attorney. We're not, and we don't intend to be. So with that being said, were you able to find some people there, David?
Yeah, we got everybody. But I was going to say we've got the whole crew with us here tonight. Larry and Jeff and Terry and John.
Hey, but, yeah, so anyway, it's going to be an interesting deal. I've won three trials this year, or two trials and one forced dismissal, which they kind of moved on their own to, and then we filed a small claims complaint following that. And I'm going to discuss that, too. Remember, I'm going to go into the entire webinar on the foreclosure, and all the discovery issues and the bond issues and everything that was filed. You're going to see the actual documents in the court docket that was filed and all the documentation that accompanies it. And then after the fact, you're also going to see the small claims lawsuit that went with it. And I'm trying to get, David, if I can get a chance, I'm going to probably do just a quick, you know, an hour or something sometime during that webinar on all the money they paid me throughout the 6 years and show you all those different lawsuits.
Boy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty interesting. Now, if you're in foreclosure, you could be making money along the way. If you're dealing with debt collectors and stuff, you should be making money. If you're not, then it's really onus is on you if you're not making money. I have zero mercy for anybody not making money that's dealing with debt issues because the fractions are there. But anyway, David, back to our conversation. I just got so tired today. John knows, I mean, and you know, I was emailing you guys pretty damn early.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on this case now for 2 days on this brief, and I'm talking, you know, 14-hour days. And I really, really am coming to the point that I don't think I'm going to really go that crazy. I'm just going to
look at
the simple side.
I think the simplicity and hitting it head on is absolutely the key to it.
Yeah, the key points I'm going to touch base on is the user agreement they submitted in discovery is dated 2003 and is between CCC and P and Equifax, right? The certification and the codes that they submitted to discovery were assigned to CCC and P from Equifax. The change of address request form submitted clearly states CCC and P on the heading as a customer name. The contact person is Cohen on the billing address. And the billing address is in care of GM, right? He admits that he knows CCC&P appears to be making the inquiries. He claims he went to work with GM in 08 and the request was not done, change of request address was not done until November of 2009. What happened to the 6 years in between, right? Because they got it originally in 2003. Admits in his declaration that his employment began with GM in 2008. He admits in his declaration that CCCCMP was a firm dissolved, was a firm and was dissolved in 2008, but ceased legal practice in 2006. He admits that CCCMP has no dealings with Wells, and he admits that CCCMP, the other AW, I just use initials, I don't need to be giving names out, and GM never had permission from Danny to pull her credit. So these are all, I went through all the motions for summary judgment, some of the discovery, I went through the depositions. Everything's admitted there. Everything is.
Yeah, the judge ignored it.
Yeah, the court assumptions on the court were they obtained a copy of her report in preparation for mediation. He explained, now listen to this, guys, for those of you that are dealing with SCRA, and Larry, you're going to get a kick if I haven't had any chance to talk to you about it. They explained that when representing clients on collection matters, such as in this case, he would typically obtain a defendant's consumer report to gain insight regarding the defendant's financial standing. I wonder where that's in the permissible purpose section of the FCRA. And in,
I
in the course
seen
of yeah, and in the course of the representation and for the purposes of collecting debt owed to Wells, he pulled her credit report from Equifax. So we look at this, and we have to say he had no permissible purpose in preparation for mediation. The case history doesn't support that, right? Gaining insight regarding the defendant's financial standing is going far outside the scope of the FCRA. Cannot claim it was for account review or collection purposes since either since Wells had already instigated the action itself. Any further investigation by Beam 2 would have been obtained during the discovery or post-judgment. And, of course, you go through all the different case history. And then B, the biggest section to me is despite the submission of change of address forms, each time he changed law firms, the inquiry on the plaintiff's Equifax consumer report stated the inquiry is my base CCMP. So am I dealing with what the judge said, just like we talked about yesterday? CCMP was never notified. You know, Cohen continued using the old account as if his old firm had changed locations and is in business. And by the way, John, the exhibit shows on its face Cohen was acting surreptitiously. I like that word.
That's great.
See, they agreed and represented in its agreements with the credit reporting agency that the user would request and use consumer reports which are obtained from said agency only for purposes which are lawful under the FCRA as defined under 1681B, and the user is required pursuant to the FCRA 1681Q, N, and O to refrain from obtaining consumer reports from the credit agencies under false pretense. So, you know, I can go on. I'm literally just taking and saying, okay, these are the because once I give the brief over to the briefing attorney, I don't want to think about it no more. Here it is. Go do your thing. You know, he's an expert on that stuff. I'm not. Let him set out the brief the way it's supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So I think that's good, man. I think that's the best way to go about doing it.
Well, there's so many times that the court erred by, I mean, it's so blatant. I don't know. It just leaves me kind of speechless here that the guy was that stupid. But, you know, it is what it is. You see that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, it is what it is, like you said, and we're just going to go from there with it. But I'm not going to – I don't want to convolute it. You see – I think my personal feeling is this, that, and I think you guys will agree, if you start arguing in room B, C, or D, permissible purposes, no permissible purpose, under false pretenses, FDCPA, FCC, you start arguing all those different directions, you lose sight of the simple fact that there was never an account to begin with.
Well, but in your appeal, everybody has to keep in mind when you're dealing with an appeal, all the arrows that you're using are pointing to what the court did wrong. It's not about arguing your case. It's about what the lower court did wrong.
So what the lower court did is acknowledge or completely ignored the fact that there is no account to begin with.
Right.
That's the problem. The second thing they ignored is that this fictitious outdated account is under a company that was never hired by Wells Fargo. They cease to exist, so there's no way they can be pulling credit on behalf of Wells Fargo. It's impossible. So, you know, it boils down to simplicity. Again, you said it best yesterday, David. Look at the simple fact that there just wasn't an account, and then start pointing all those arrows at that the court overlooked and purposely overlooked, by the way. You know, so
yep.
That's the way we got to do it.
No, I agree.
Deal. That's what we're doing.
I agree.
So,
all right.
Get rolling, Mike.
All right. For anybody that has good news and good news only, hit the one key on your keypad of your phone, and we'll get you on for good news. And then after that, we'll proceed on with the rest of the call. I want to remind everybody that we are really cranking down on things. When you come on, please be concise with your question. We're not doing a bunch of questions. We're doing a question. And be concise. We can't have a five-minute story leading to it. And if Jesse gets too long-winded, I've got his consent to choke him as well. And we're going to try and be concise. The main object is so that we can help as many people as possible. We get a lot of people, and we want to try and be able to get to the numbers. So please be courteous on that. If you don't, I'm going to rein you in. It's my job. So with that said, let's go to 609, see if you got some good news. Hello, 609.
Hi, Dean. My name is Amir. You did this to me last week when you called me first, and I'm just a new member.
Do you have good news for us?
Well, no, I'm a new member. I just joined up. And I have a lot of questions, and...
Okay. Well, all we're doing is taking good news right now. You have your hand up, and it's too early to have your hand up for anything but good news. So we'll come back to you.
All right.
All right. We're going to go to all the ones, which maybe is way up in the northeast. Let's see if we can get you unmuted. Go ahead. You got some good news for us?
Sorry, I was in the queue to ask a question. I don't know when to do that.
All right. Everybody, you wait until we say we're going to Q&A to put yourself in the queue. At first, we just do good news. Please, if everybody will stay with that, that makes things a lot easier for us. That's the way we go. Let's go to 904 for good news. You got some good news for us?
No, I have questions.
So. All right. You're for Q&A as well. Okay. All right. Let's see. We're going to go to another 609 here. We got two 609s on tonight. That's interesting.
Yeah
609, 334. You got good news for us?
No, sir. That was for a question. I apologize.
Okay. Please, everybody, refrain from getting into the queue right now unless you have good news. This is only addressed good news.
Back down, David. back down right now.
Four 404. You got good news?
Yeah, evening, Dave. This is Thomas over here in Georgia. Just want to make I reached my first settlement agreement today. And
very good.
So it looks like thank you. Work through the agreement with the attorney for one of the credit reporting agencies, and got that sent to me today. There's just one typo, but I imagine tomorrow I will be filing my first dismissal of a defendant. So just wanted to pass that on.
Good job.
That's
man.
Very good.
Thank
good
you.
Good job. All righty. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye now.
All right. Somebody... I don't know if that was him that was making some noise there. It appears it's gone now. John, I believe I've caught you and unmuted you again. Can you give us a yell and let you know? Yeah, okay, very good. I wanted to make sure that you knew. Okay, that's all that, let's see.
One more.
I think we got one. Yeah, I was going to say 949. We're going to see if we got any good news at 949.
This is Southern California, and... I'm part of the Anti-Foreclosure Network, which I'm sure you guys probably know that group. and I've been working on fighting foreclosure in my house for several years, which originally the servicer was Bank of America, and then they transferred the servicing to a company called Resurgent in January of this year, and then Resurgent supposedly turned into Shell Point, who was just a debt collector, and Bank of America wasn't really much of a servicer either, and they've been threatening me with foreclosure with these threatening letters, but they haven't filed any notice of default or anything. And
now, are you here for good news? I've sent them out these FDCPA letters and demanded they validate
the debt, disputed the debt, et cetera. And they just send me back the same old nonsense of an assignment of the trust or whatever.
Dave, Bank of New York mailing.
Unfortunately,
she won't listen to you. She's on
a speakerphone, and she's not hearing what we're saying. This is not about question and answer right now. 949, this is for good news only. This is not Q&A right now. We will come back to you. And please do not be on a speakerphone so that you can hear when we speak with you, please. All right, 678. 678, do you have good news? 678, you've been unmuted for good news. If you don't speak up, we're going to mute you back. And I think we're just going to quit the good news here. We're just going to go to Q&A.
Got one more? Because we've
got all sorts of people coming in because people are not following instructions. I said for people to hit the one key if you had good news only, not for Q&A. This is not for Q&A. In the beginning of our calls, just so everybody understands that, I will make an announcement as to when it's time to go to Q&A for you to hit the one key. But at the beginning of our calls, the only people that should hit the one key and put themselves in the queue are those people that have good news. So if everybody will please take heed of that, it makes things a lot easier. We don't waste this time. So we are going to start going.
Dave, I have good news.
Talk to us.
Well, I'm part of two TCPA junk fax class actions. I'm not a lead plaintiff, but I'm just a class member. And on both of those, they reached a settlement that the judge approved. And the faxes were from over a four-year period. So it pays out $100 for each fax received, $250 for each fax received that you can prove you have. And I save all my stuff, so up to 10 faxes. So that's not bad in two separate actions.
No,
wow.
Damn not. That's good.
That's real good. That's
real nice.
That's a pretty nice piece of change. And that's something that just kind of fell out of the sky, isn't it?
It's manna from heaven.
Yeah, man.
That's great. Congratulations.
That's great.
Yeah. That's super. All right. Well, I'll throw my little bit of good news in, and then we're going to go to Q&A, unless Jesse has any other announcements he wants to make.
No, that's it, buddy. We're good.
Okay. All right. My good news is I filed a notice of settlement with the court today on one of my cases. I can't elaborate on it, but it's another one that is getting settled, and I'm very pleased with that, and I continue to get calls from Chase. I don't know. All of a sudden, they started calling my cell phone, and they called twice today, and the second one was call number 15. So, I keep telling them not to call. I answer the phone, and there's a robo-message on there. Please hold for the next available associate. Dum-de-dum-dum. That's, you know, there's some manna from heaven for me. But anyway, I've got one.
Yeah, man. Take it.
When I'm getting settled. So I'm pleased with that. That is good news for me. All right. We're going to start down the list here, and we are going to go to our 1111, whoever has got their call number blocked or whatever. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Cindy. I'm in California.
Hi, Cindy.
I just joined your group, and I have a question and see if you guys can help me figure out if I'm wasting my time with my what just happened or if I should pursue this. I just sold a property in Miami, and I hadn't heard from the second lien holder for 3 years. And I had a cash buyer wanting to close in 30 days, and I honestly forgot all about the second. But the attorney that did the closing said, do you have any seconds? And I just said no. And I said I had something that was on there but was charged off per my, you know, credit report. And then it turned out that this thing reared its ugly head because there was an assignment in the county records that I never saw, never got anything. And that was in 2012 it was put in the county. So the bottom line is, I was dealing with real-time resolutions. It went through three or four different servicers, and then real-time resolutions started bothering me in 2011. As soon as I got the assignment from EMC to real-time resolutions, I sent a validation letter 2 weeks after, and they never did validate it. And I sent it certified, and I sent it notarized, actually. And so when it came down time to closed this escrow a week ago, I ended up having to get an attorney because we couldn't get any answers on the phone. They were just playing games with my husband. So the attorney, you know, nailed them down, and they actually sent a payoff and said they owe us $33,694, blah, blah, blah. We made the decision to go ahead and let it get paid off, paid through the escrow, because we didn't want to lose our cash buyer and the tenant already moved out. We ended up getting a $300 net check out of that whole sale. And so we wrote and sent a certified letter right after it and telling real-time resolutions, we still do not believe that you were the right party to pay, and we're not done. So we're just here to let you know we did that under, you know, like stress and pressure to do it. So my question is, do you all think I have any leg to stand on to try to go after them? And I have not cashed the escrow check. There's a $300-some proceeds, you know, from the sale. I have not cashed that. And I don't know if that makes a difference or not. So that's my question.
Yeah, without knowing all the details, I mean, details and looking at assignments and, you know, all the different items that need to be looked at, I can't tell you yes or no.
Okay.
That's a tough one. You know, I mean, it really is, because you're making the assumption, and rightfully so, but you're making an assumption, right, that they weren't the receiver or shouldn't have been the receiver of that, those funds of that payoff.
I am doing
that
because MERS was involved.
Okay. Yeah, so there you go. So, you know, with a lot of due diligence and research, I'm sure you can find out what was going on. Real-time resolutions, if I'm not mistaken, weren't they an affiliate of Bank of America?
Well, I had a Countrywide. It was Countrywide for a while,
yep.
And now it's Chase they're affiliated with, J.P.
Okay.
Morgan.
Yeah, I knew there was one of the Nationals.
Okay, so what I should study on the website? Where should I go to figure out what I need to do here?
That you'd have to go to the foreclosure section and then look at all the MERS, study up all the MERS stuff, and then the helping families save their homes section where the transfers went. But at the end of the day, you have a very unique situation. You see what I mean? You could have possibly challenged them prior to accepting payment, and then you'd have got a little further. Because if they didn't get the money, who did you think was supposed to get the money? That's the question.
Well, the attorney did tell them that, and they said, you know, we don't negotiate unless it's a short sale. So the bottom line is this is the amount we're telling you needs to be paid off if they want to close the escrow.
Well, that's
so when
answer
I
my
said
question,
to him,
though,
you know, I would be willing.
I asked you, who do you think the money should have went to? That's the question for you.
Well, it was the Mortgage Store Financial originally, so they were my original creditor who went out of business in 2005.
Yeah, they're out of business, right.
So this went on for, you know, it went back and forth to different entities, and then in 2011, I stopped paying in 2009 on the second. In 2011, it went from EMC to real-time resolutions. And so I don't want to waste energy and time because I got more fights. I got more battles.
I was going to say, you probably have a lot easier battles to pick from and that are going to put some real dollars in your pockets like our members are smashing than fooling with that stuff. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, the
I'm on the website. Our member just hammered $25,000 on TCPA and FTCPA. I know my other member, who I haven't got the check yet, $45,000. I did $60,000. That's real dollars, you know? I mean,
right.
That's where you need to focus
okay.
on. You know.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I needed to hear.
Problem, yeah, I think the biggest problem you have is that they've got the money now and you're trying to get it back from them instead of keeping them from getting it, you know?
Right.
Once
exactly.
they've got possession of it, you've got an uphill battle because they're like, well, hey, sue us.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. But the tenant moved out, so I would have gotten behind on the lien on the first, so
right.
I felt like that might cost me time and money. So, okay,
right.
that's
yeah.
really all I wanted to ask because I don't want to spend time or money further on it.
Yep.
Right. Can I chime in?
Oh, my husband's on. Ron, what?
Yeah, I just got home. Our position is that this debt collector has no judgment and has no contract with us. So real-time resolution is really not anybody we're committed to.
Yeah, but you got an assignment there, and that's what you have to overcome, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, Ron. It's not worth the – you know, some of these battles I try to pick and choose, and I'm
yeah.
always looking for the most profitable ones.
But
the
you know, the assignment actually was from MERS to Citibank as the trustee for J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's why we were like, this just stinks really bad. So anyway, I kind of hear, you know, I did talk to an attorney today, sent them a lot of notes. They do this stuff in Chicago. And they said they're going to look at this thing after I gave them some details. And if they can do it, like, without me costing me a bunch of money, I might go forward. If not, I've got other battles. We've got a lot of stuff that's happened to us with all the properties. So
yeah,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, I was through the same battle. So, yeah, keep it up and always, you know, like I said, be smart about it. That's all.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to 609. It's 609-618. You've been unmuted. Go ahead,
yeah,
please.
Dear, hi, Dev. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh,
sure hear you.
Hi, Dev. Hi. I assume this is Dave, right? From your voice?
Yeah, this is Dave.
Yeah, hi. First, I want to clarify something that, you know, when I first dial in, when anybody first dials in, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes up before the show, it says if you want to speak to the moderator, press 1. And I guess that's what happened today. Right? Everybody presses 1. So maybe so just like when you send out the messages, that it should include, you know, when you send the emails for the talk, it says don't press 1 till after the good news. And I guess that's what's confusion is about today.
I don't know why it is, but we've had a real problem with it just the last couple of calls. Before that, we didn't have any. But thanks for making note of that. It's you're not going to talk to the moderator until later on after we say it's time for Q&A.
Yeah, I know. And when you called me with my number last week, I didn't talk because you were asking for good news, so I stayed silent. Anyways, my name is Amir. I'm over in New Jersey, and I'm a new member. I just signed up this week. I found out about you guys just last week, and I signed up over weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you all. And I have a couple of issues. I want to congratulate Jesse. He said he won a case in court after 6 years, grueling 6 years.
Three of them this year. All of them
have
6 years old. Yeah.
6 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I know what is that like because I had a case that was filed against me for debt collection in Jersey in 2005, and the trial date was the 5-year anniversary, exactly from the date that was filed. I won it after three-day trial days, and I know that was grueling. That is grueling.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's just something you don't know. You walk away and you're like, my God, 5 years in civil court? It's unbelievable. It takes a lot out of you. But I won anyways. And I have a question about that. That case, I want to start off with that. That case, I won in court. The court decision was that the collection agency had no standing or they were not the real party of interest. They had no cause of action against me. That's why it was dismissed. No cause of action because it was not the real party of interest. I did that. I mean, I proved that in the trial. And my question is, during the five-year trial, they actually gained the judgment against me. The case was filed maybe it was 2005. They gained the judgment against me. I went to court. I voided the judgment in court, and I reopened the case. And during the case, there was maybe three or four summary judgments. They won one or two of them, and I went back to court, voided the judgment, and reopened the case again. To make a long story short, during that time, every time I pulled out my credit report, there was a judgment against me. So after I voided the judgment, say back in 2008 the first time, I send it out to the attorney, to the collection attorney, to remove the judgment. Then I send it, certified, everything correct, to the format, everything correct. I had the correct templates. I send it to the fair, to the credit bureau, all three of them, certified, mail everything to remove the judgment, and I gave them 30 days and to say investigated. In 2008, two out of the three credit bureau, I think except Experian, they dropped the judgment. Back in 2010, after I won, I pulled out my credit report. I found the judgment, the same judgment is back on my credit report. So I send out again, certified, registered mail, everything to all three credit bureaus and the collection attorney saying remove the judgment. All right? And till today, I think the judgment is there. What do you think my damages are? If I have a judgment on me that was removed by the court and I won the case, in court, dismissed was prejudice, that if I have a judgment on me from 2003-2004, what's the ground for sue?
Well, you disputed it? Have you disputed it with them?
Yes, I disputed it with them. I think at one point I sent a copy of the court's decision, the final decision for the court dismissing the case was prejudice in my favor. Just to say, don't go do your research. Here's a copy of the
court.
They
don't research anyway, so no worries.
Right. Well, what I'm asking is, how much damages am
I
going to have?
I don't know. That's a huge question. You have to
look. I think it's a huge
case. Listen, you can usually get them from the minute you started disputing. Remember, you have two years from the date of discovery. Okay? Remember that.
Okay. Okay.
So if you started disputing, when did you start disputing?
I'd say about 2008. I don't have the documentation from, but I'll say the first time I disputed, it was maybe 2007, 2008. I disputed.
Okay, but you don't have the documentation to prove that, so
yep.
It's irrelevant.
Yes, I do have it.
Oh, you do have it. Okay.
I keep everything.
Okay. Okay, good. Listen, you disputed it. You said they took it off at one point and they put them back on.
Right, but one of them never removed it. I guess that was experience. They never removed it.
Yeah, experience is pretty tough. So anyway, have you disputed it again since?
No. I've been laid off, just say, from all legal stuff for about the last three, 4 years for a personal reason. I just got back
to it. Well, I mean, Dave, it's been 2 years. You got to do it from the date of discovery, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you look at that, he could actually dispute it again at this point and then let it ride, and now he shows a pattern of total disregard.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Dave?
Yeah, I would go ahead and just do a dispute right now to the
with all
the
of
credit
them.
Reporting
right.
agencies.
Yeah. Don't send them
we're
anything. Don't send them judgments or nothing. Don't send them anything. Just
set
dispute
them up.
It.
Just
That's
set
it.
Them up.
And then let it ride. And then when you sue, in the meanwhile, what I would do is probably go apply for some credit or something. You know, I don't know. Go try to get a credit card and let them knock you down a couple of times.
Well,
you
know what? I have a lot of credit cards that in the last 2 years due to financial issues that closed my accounts. They closed half. I had like 2 dozen credit cards. They closed the accounts on their part, and I think maybe part of it, that judgment.
Well, there you go. I mean, you could claim that, but you have to have proof of it. That's pretty hard to prove. So,
right.
But,
I mean,
you know, the point is that you can dispute it, and then you start over. So the clock starts ticking. And then this way, you're going to have solid proof of a pattern that these guys are doing, and they're basically disregarding all of your rights.
Right.
So then you start hammering them, and then you can sue them for distress. And, I mean, there's some big dollars if you do that, because you've been consistently fighting these guys now for 6 or 7 years. So
yeah,
you can
and you
get
can
some
get
big
punitive
money.
Damages under the FCRA.
That's right. That's right. You big money. And I got to tell you something. In your position, I would probably find me a very experienced attorney. After you do the disputes, let it ride for a month or two, go do your research, and go find somebody who knows exactly how to hammer these guys for the big money. They're out there. Because they're going to take it on, they're going to take it anyway on a contingency basis.
All right, I'm glad you said that. I just called him I found a very good attorney in New Jersey that handles consumer affairs, and I looked at his website, I looked at his cases, I Googled him. He's got class action and under the FDCPA and Federal Reporting Act and federal court and state court. He won a lot of cases, so I think I'm starting a relationship with him, and I think I might need him for that one, because that, like you said, might be a big one. The second thing I want to discuss with you is about
Well,
Uber
actually,
killing.
Can I ask you to recycle yourself, because we've got a lot of people in the queue. We're kind of limiting to one question so that
I
we can get to everybody.
Tomorrow. I could call up tomorrow and talk to you guys during the webinar, I think.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Very
it.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yeah, we got a lot of people in the queue here. We're going to go to 904.
That would be me.
That would be you. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I have one question. I've had some battles with Citibank, City Advantage Card for years. And back in December 27th of 2012, I had sent a payment in, and in the meantime, they had charged me a late fee, and therefore my payment was off by $8 or whatever. They started calling me. I put them on notice for harassment that I would pay it the following month. I've been a card member for 15 years. And they continued to call me 24 times. I'm an ex-law enforcement officer, so I always log what number was calling from, what I told them. I told them they're on notice of harassment. They're calling me on a cell phone. And on 5/11 of January 10th of 2013, I got the final, they don't give names, but this guy, Nathan, with his employee number, said that if it is not in writing, they can call you 6 times a day and it's not harassment. He was very cocky. Do I have a cause of action on this? Yeah. Do I have a cause of action? Because there's 24 instances here where I said, do not call me.
The problem is that you've waited. So you got to make sure it's within the year statute of limitations, number one, for the FDCPA. And number two, are they the original creditor? Because if they are, then the FDCPA doesn't apply to them. Okay?
Okay.
But
well, they're the original
creditor,
I would say.
Yeah, well, then you got to look at your state law. Like in Florida, for instance, we have the FCCPA, and that applies
to
the original creditor.
I'm in Illinois, actually. I'm in Illinois.
Yeah, so I don't know what the Illinois state law is, but the federal law, if they're the original creditor, wouldn't apply.
Okay.
But are they calling a number that you've given them permission to call?
No.
Or is
no,
it a cell phone that
all.
They're calling you?
It's a cell phone. I did not give them permission. I said, you can't call me on that. I told them they can't call me, and they continued.
You got.
And how did they get this number?
I don't know. I must have been on a credit file somewhere. I mean, it's obviously I pay a telephone bill.
Yeah. Question for you. When
sure.
they called, you answered, was there somebody there immediately, or was there a delay?
Sometimes there was a delay, and then somebody answered.
Okay. That,
David,
that's indication ATDS. So you've got TCPA violations with that, yes.
That's where I was heading. So each one of those calls started at $500 for the first and $1,500 for everyone thereafter. And you could knock them out. You probably got, I don't know how many total calls you got, but
24.
24 at $1,500? Yeah. Or 23 at $15.
That's
you 30, figured it 35, out.
35,000.
Yeah, 35,000
potential.
Yeah. Yeah, for a quick sum. As a matter of fact, I just got a text right now, a minute ago, from my buddy David. Funny enough, I mentioned, I don't know if he's on the call or not. Paperwork is signed, waiting on check for $45,000.
Wow.
There you go.
So those are all TCPA. Every one of those is. So
okay, that's
there's
great.
Big money there. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know there's a 2-year statute of limitations. But I didn't know about it. It's from when you have
knowledge. Well, you're mistaken there on the TCPA.
Okay.
The statute of limitations is
four
years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
You've got far more time than you
realized. All right, because I want to go after you guys, and that means I'm joining you guys tomorrow. Because I wanted to know what to do before, obviously, and I want to be. I was one of those guys that hit one well before the call started, and I want to be one of the guys who says, "Hey, I have good news."
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, can I just give you a bit of advice? 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
City pays really, really good.
Oh, wonderful. Because
I don't know anything about it. I just know that they pay really well, I heard.
Yeah. I won't take up more time, but I won a case against them. They took me to court about 7 years ago, and I won against them, and my lawyer chickened out and made a $5,000 payoff at $100 a month with no interest. And I had won the case.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so now I have a hard-on ever since. You can imagine.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm joining tomorrow, and I'm going to work on this because my payment's coming up in a little while, and I don't want to pay them because they're going to owe me. So.
Good. That's
there
right.
Go.
There you go.
Right. So I'm sure I'll have more phone calls on my cell phone. So we'll be wrapping
Alrighty.
It up. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks
welcome
very
aboard.
Much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's somebody that's got things clarified and. Boom, 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 down the road we go. All
right.
Right. We are going to go to 949. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. 949. You need to talk to us or we're going to go to the next caller. All right. We are going to the next caller, 727. 727.
Yes,
hi.
Hey, guys. This is Mary Jo from Hudson, and I am calling to make sure I'm going in the right direction. I called probably about a month ago, and you could probably nickname me Meltdown Mary Jo because I kind of meltdown.
I think I remember you.
Yes.
I'm so stretched. Stretch Armstrong can't be as stretched as I am
point. That's funny.
Okay, so I'm like a member almost a year now, and I'm ready to get paid. So I have been applying myself a little more as of late. So I have some understanding. I'm dealing with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act with a violation of a credit poll, and I believe I understand what's going on now. They looked at my credit without permission, and I can't seem to find the letter that I sent to them. It's unauthorized credit inquiry, and I'm sure I got it from your site. And I just can't seem to find it, but I'm reading it. And it just speaks to it just asks them, why did you pull my credit? Did I give you approval and all that jazz? And
right.
they sent me back the letter that says we receive your correspondence, and they said that after investigating your allegation, you know that letter they sent out that says, please cease pursuing this matter against our company. And Terry was very kind and explained to me how I don't have an account with them, therefore they don't have permissible purpose. So I went on the website before the call and printed out the permissible purpose of consumer reports, that one page. And I have that here in front of me. So that is the violation of this particular law firm. Am I correct? Am I getting the drift here? Because
well,
they
first
don't,
of all,
don't
you're
have...
dealing with the FCRA, not the FDCPA.
Oh, okay.
In that
okay.
respect, the Fair Credit Reporting Act.
Okay.
The other is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. You got to get your statutes straight.
Okay. All right. So.
But you know, right. if they didn't have a permissible purpose, then they violated the statute, did they not?
Yes, they did. Absolutely. Because
okay.
I do not have an account with them, or any, they're not a creditor, they didn't give me credit, and they pulled that in conjunction with collecting a debt as a debt collector, a default debt collector, for Capital One Services, LLC.
So, can you say lawsuit?
So, yes, I can say lawsuit, and I can say damages because they violated the statute. So I just want to make sure I'm going in the right direction because I'm pulling this and reading it and planning on sending something out to them next week. That's my goal. I have a plan, and I'm working my plan, Mr. Dave. So,
very good. Plan your work and work your plan. Have you gone through Terry's whole series of webinars, What Lies in Your Credit Report?
Yes, I've listened to them probably about a month ago, and I listen to them while I'm working, and
okay.
I'm going to review that again.
Yes, that's where you really want to focus because she covered everything in very minute detail there.
Yes, okay. All right, so I'm heading in the right direction, and I should listen to her thing again.
Oh, man, what's all that noise?
Not
Somebody's
me.
Bringing a lot of noise into the call.
Holy Lord have mercy. Not me.
Okay. Wasn't
oh,
me.
You blame me. I see how it is.
Always you, Jesse.
It's always me. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, he's the one that's always scraping up chicken poop or something during the middle of a call with a shovel, and then we wonder what the noise is. See, I told your secret, didn't I, Jesse?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
No
okay.
picking up poop. Okay, yeah. So it's a Fair Credit Reporting Act violation for pulling because they went and did a soft pull on my credit report without permission in conjunction with trying to collect a debt that, again, was not validated by the person that hired them. Sound good? Am I getting it?
Well, that too, but don't forget. I don't want to get too complicated, Dave, but an instant pulling your credit does – In a lot of circumstances, violate the FDCPA, as it is in the
right
to collect a debt. So just remember that. That's an automatic almost, as long as you catch it within that year's time.
Yes, I have, and it's very recent. And that's, I guess, sometimes there's bilateral things going on, and that's sometimes where I get a little I think I get it, but then you all bring up something, another act, and I'm like, oh, darn it. So that's what I originally wrote down. Fair Debt Collection Practice Act violation.
Yeah. Well, the permissible purpose, that part of things is strictly FCRA. And I may suggest, I think it's probably in your best interest to master each one of the statutes separately instead of trying to study them both at the same time, because it'll probably have more of a confusing effect on you than it will an educational effect. So stay focused on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and understand completely on the permissible pulls and what is and is not a permissible purpose. And then you can, if you want to, go over and study the FDCPA and how it applies to when somebody pulls your credit. Because, like Jesse said, there is a connection there. But I would suggest for you taking one at a time. I think it'd be easier for you.
When you say the statute, you mean the body of each one of these acts, correct?
Well, the statute, the Fair Credit Reporting Act versus the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to get definition of words because sometimes we're not familiar with the terminology. So this, so the body of each act equals the statute.
Yeah, you need to study them. Now, the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Don't think you're going to go and read the whole Fair Credit Reporting Act and understand it, because you'll be till Christmas.
That's right.
And that's not necessary. That's why I say focus, go in and focus very carefully on what Terry did in her webinars.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to 770. You have been unmuted. Go ahead. 770, you're unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Speaker,
hear
forever
me?
Hold your peace. There you
yes.
go.
Sorry. I have to tell you, last week, Jesse, I told you I'd put something on the site, and I finally found it.
No, you don't want.
Yeah, I put it in saving. Well, I found it in my notes in my motion. I didn't know where I'd put it. I looked all over it for 3 days trying to find it. But it's in saving your home, and I think it says statute of limitations after death or something, so you can show it to Marshall. It's got a lot of case law and everything in there and statute.
I didn't. Even, I haven't. I'm on there right now, but I didn't. For some reason, I missed that completely.
I think it's went in August 10th.
Huh, okay. Let me take a peek.
I mean, it was when, no, I told you Wednesday. And I have to say, after listening and listening and listening and going back over calls and asking really stupid questions, I heard myself on, I have to say and tell everybody that not once have you lost your patience with any of us. And
no.
Some of these questions even I think are stupid. You know, they're that. So,
well,
I'm
the stupid
grateful.
One is the one that you don't ask.
That's right.
Well, I mean, for you guys to hear it over and over and over and over and over again from 10 different, you know, people a day and then get it again
well,
next
we
night
don't,
and the next
yeah,
night.
But the thing is, we don't know who was on the call last week. So when somebody asks the same question again, the way we learned it by heart is repetition. So don't worry about that. The main
well,
thing
I'm just
is
saying, I'm very
ask
grateful
the questions.
I'm very grateful
Thank
because
you
guys have been so good about it through all
Thank
of
you
it. One quick thing. I just heard something. You know how many times you've emphasized TILA and the 131, the Helping Families in Your Home Act. And I heard something on one of the old calls about rental homes, it wouldn't apply. And I'm going,
right.
What if it's your second home?
It still wouldn't apply.
I can't.
It only applies to
anything?
Your main home.
Primary residence.
That's
there
right.
is no way you can use it any way at all.
Nope.
The fact that they endorsed the note and they didn't tell you who they was. Well,
primary residence.
The creditors. Well, the fact that they're not telling you who the real creditor is a violation of RESPA and everything else.
It's
no?
still primary residence that
yeah.
changes everything right there.
Sure does.
So what can you use? Because I know you have rentals, Jesse.
Yeah, you have to just go, all my rentals, I went under the FDCPA and then the 557 statute here in Florida.
You mean 5015?
Yeah.
Yeah,
my head is, listen,
oh,
I've been going
530 okay.
this morning.
Yeah, no, I'm just, I mean, I know I should have it memorized by now. I've heard
Me
it
too,
so
but hell, I got so much crap today in my head, I can't really, you know.
Okay, well, that's a real bummer. And the remember Wednesday we were talking about the fact of my brother and I both being served, and they answered both of our motions to dismiss with one motion to dismiss. I'm trying to keep my brother out of it because he hasn't officially been served. He's never gotten notice except for the complaint. All of those violations are there, but he... For 2 years of me being in this, he doesn't have a clue what's going on. And since it's the statute of limitation applies to him, I'm wondering if I might be better off, since they answered for both of us, if I just put one response in and keep him out of it since he hasn't officially been served.
You can't respond for him.
No, I'm responding
Even
for
if you
me.
Wanted to.
I realize. But see, they put in a motion to reply to his motion dismiss and my motion dismiss in one reply. And I put an affidavit in for him because I've been trying to notify them that he doesn't live where I live for 2 years and they have ignored it. But anyway, that's the only thing I can do. But as far as if I just kind of, because he hasn't been served and he's already filed the motion to quash like we talked about, We both put an affidavit striking theirs, and if I'm the only one that responds, I've been in the case, they're probably not going to say much about him, are they?
Probably not.
Don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean,
you
it
never
won't
know
be,
what they're going
to
do.
Well, if they try to default him, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm already there, and they're already got me, you know.
Yeah, you're like the lead firecracker in there. So it's
yeah.
Nice, you know.
Okay, so it wouldn't be damaging to him at this point to do nothing other than the motion to quash. his service because he doesn't have personal jurisdiction, you know, until they can serve him properly.
Correct.
Right? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All
righty. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to 281. We're going down to Texas. 281, you've been unmuted. We're doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Just as an aside, I got two robocalls on a Sunday to my cell phone the other day, but I think it was from an original creditor. I don't know what the law says about that.
Nothing.
There's nothing special about Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. You can make money 7 days a week. If they call your cell phone without permission, it doesn't matter who is calling it. They violate the TCPA. So
it's an original creditor.
It doesn't matter. Did you give that phone number to him?
No. I recorded the calls, and I made a note of them just in case. So, is that under TCPA? Yeah.
TCPA, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, my original question was that on my TransUnion credit report, there is an entry from Bank of America, a credit card, that's 30 days late. Is that sufficient enough to go ahead and file a dispute and send a debt validation letter to Bank of America? Or do I have to wait until it's in default or in collections?
You can dispute anything you believe is incorrect at any time.
Okay.
And in fact, the sooner the better.
And they are the original creditor anyway. Does that make a difference? Or?
No. If you believe something is incorrect on your credit report, anything from the spelling of your name to an address to phone numbers or accounts or credit pulls or anything else, dispute it.
Okay. All right, well, it is 30 days late, and it'll be 60 days late at the end of this month. So. All right.
Yeah, but
that's
your beginning point is when you get your credit reports, and this is for everybody out there. When you get your credit report, your first course of business is to go through it, and anything that you believe is incorrect on there, dispute it and get that done immediately because that draws a line in the sand and potentially starts a clock ticking on you getting violations.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. All righty. You're welcome. Okay, let's go to another one of those 1111111s. Maybe this is way up in the northeast. You've been unmuted. Somebody's got your number blocked.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
All right, I have a question. I live in North Carolina, and I have been looking for any type of case law. I've got a summons against me for a credit card. And trying to locate anything here in North Carolina has been unnoticeable. My question is can I use other case law from, say, Florida to my local courts here? Is that possible?
No.
Well, what are you wanting to use case law for? What are you attempting to do, I think, is a bigger question to begin with.
I'm trying to get when I got my complaint, there was an affidavit and a statement attached. And I'm trying to do a motion to dismiss and do, with a motion to dismiss, do my memorandum and put something in there because there's nothing here in North Carolina to back up, you know, with contract or the agreement attached that they don't have because since February, I've sent out the debt validation letters. They have yet to verify the debt, and then they serve me. Now I'm taking and trying to do a motion.
Okay, wait a minute. Whoa. You sent out a debt validation letter. They didn't validate, and then they served you.
Yes.
Then you need to sue them in federal court under the FDCPA.
Uh-huh.
They're a debt collector, correct?
As far as I know.
You got to make the distinguishment. Either they are a debt collector or they're the original creditor, one or the other.
Okay, then they're a debt collector.
Okay, then you have a very clear case against
cause of action.
And the North Carolina laws, because you got the NC
what is it, the NCCPA, I think it's something
North
like that.
North Carolina's got two or three of them, and they got the North Carolina Debt Collection Act, the North Carolina
Collection
Act, and then you got the North Carolina Economic Consumer Protection Act, which was done.
Yeah, I've read all of them, believe it or not, because I got a lot of friends up there, but at the end of the day, you can use those and hammer down on them, and claw, along with the federal, which is the FDCPA. So you're sitting in pretty good. Yeah, you're sitting in good shape, man.
The attorneys are under investigation right now from the Texas Attorney General and the North Carolina Attorney General. The one attorney that is representing on my case has a federal DUI suit against him. And
federal DUI?
According to what I read, yes.
That's weird.
I think the only federal DUI would be if you got a DUI on federal government property.
Right, and that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. I've searched and searched and can't find anything about it. So.
Well, that's not going to be a reflection on your suit, on your situation. You need to be proactive, like Jesse said, and get your federal lawsuit going against them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to get them off my back, and I guess I just.
No, wrong. Don't anybody listen to him. You do not get these guys off your back. You smash their heads. You do not get them off your back. Okay, they're not a fly.
Very good.
You don't shoo them away. You smash their heads.
Okay.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you use a big croquet mallet when you do it.
Exactly.
Don't use the little one. You use the big one.
Get out your
sledge.
Use
the federal court. Yeah. Are you a member?
Yes, I am. I have been on repeating credit cards and watched both them webinars and then been to the SummerSlam under the Discovery. I've been up and down both ways and everything that I can think of on the site.
Okay.
Anything
well,
that you would recommend?
Your focus should be at this point to make sure that you are knowledgeable about the beating credit card section and then the taking their money section, going after them. Get your federal lawsuit going because the best defense is a good offense.
That's right.
Where did that come in? Okay.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate it, fellas.
All right. All righty. Go get them. You bet. All right, let's go to 609-334. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. 609.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I filed bankruptcy in 2008. And at that time, they took off my home from the my credit report. Now, fast forwarding to now, they still have not put my mortgage back on my, you know, on my credit report. And every time I try to go get some type of car loan or something, they're saying, well, you don't have a house. You don't have any sort of mortgage or anything on your credit report. I went back and forth with them to try to put it back on my credit report, and they still are not doing anything about it. Is there anything on your website that will help me to, you know?
That's new.
They're not required. They're not required to report to a credit reporting agency.
Okay.
No.
In fact,
we
they
don't
have to
usually.
Pay to be able to do that.
But if I stop paying, they'll report it, right?
That's probably.
Well, yeah, but that would be negative.
Yeah,
we don't
yeah.
usually get people wanting to know how can I get somebody to report on my credit report? The other way around.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing I can do?
You can request that your mortgage, your service, or whoever it is that you pay, request that they report and do it very nicely. Maybe they will.
Okay.
Well, you know, because most of them do.
If I stop paying, then, of course, they're going to report it, right?
Right, but
well,
then that'll create a negative report on your credit report, and you go to buy something, they're going to say, ah, well, you know, your credit score is not good enough and looks like you don't pay your bills. So
right.
That's kind of a catch-22 right there.
Okay. Okay, good deal. Thank you so much.
All right. You bet. Okay, let's go to 910. You have been unmuted. Go ahead. 910. Need to talk to us. All right, one more time. 910, you've been unmuted for a question. If we don't speak up, we're not hearing you, then we're going to go to the next caller, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to 510.
You know, Dave, I was just thinking of something kind of sneaky. Leave it to a woman. But I was thinking, you know, maybe in that kind of a situation, and if you were creative, you might contact the your current mortgager and ask them to report on your credit report because you are looking into buying a second home, a vacation home, and having problems even qualifying because your current mortgage is not on your credit report and therefore doesn't show your credit worthiness. And perhaps they could get some more business from you if they would kindly report on your credit report. Of course, you don't have to actually go buy a second home.
Yeah, obviously.
No, yeah, you know, sneaky but creative, yeah. And, you know, try it.
Yeah, well, you don't know if you don't try, right? All right,
yeah.
Once again, we're going to go 510. You've been unmuted. If you've got a question for us, you need to speak up. Otherwise, we're going to go to the next caller.
Hello, hello. Is that?
You're going to have to be quick on the draw here. Come on, everybody. Everybody's kind of sleeping tonight here. You're unmuted. Go ahead. 510.
510. That's the first three numbers. I thought you was doing the last four numbers.
No. It's your area code.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bernardo here in California, San Francisco Bay Area, and I had a question and what they call civil money judgment is that's with a private collection company. Is that something I can get out of? It's parking tickets.
I
was resembling any other debt collector. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have enough information, obviously, but if a debt collector is trying to collect it, doesn't matter what it is, they're subject to the FDCPA.
Right.
Yeah, it went through the DMV and then got my license suspended for non-payment, and it went to collection.
Well,
who's collecting it, though?
GC Services.
GC Services,
Alliance.
Yeah, they're a debt collector.
Yeah.
Well,
so
have you sent them a
different
debt validation letter?
No, I did not.
That's the first thing you got to do. And you got to do that within 30 days of receiving the first communication to put yourself in the best spot. You need to immediately respond to these people when you get a Dunning letter. It doesn't matter who it is.
Okay.
So, credit report, GC Services is the defendant in the Capetta case on the permissible pull.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of calls from GC. I haven't even gotten around to litigating on them yet.
Dave, I got a quick question for you. Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't you, I know while we're on the call here, did you not send me a case, or Jeff maybe, I'm not sure, on mailbox, on some mailings and having proof of mailing? It takes the burden off the person who would receive it and puts it right back on the sender.
Well, there had been some stuff. I had sent some stuff out. I think Terry sent something out, didn't you, Terry, on that? Because we were just
on
talking
what?
About that the other day on the mailbox rule.
can't find it nowhere.
Okay. Who do you want me to send it to?
To me. Just send it over to me. It's somebody on the forum is asking about it, and I just recall, and I can't find the darn thing anywhere, man.
I'll send it to you right now.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's go back to this gentleman and finish up here.
Yeah.
You need to send a validation demand to GC Services. That's the first place you start.
Okay. Because basically I contacted them because I'm trying to renew my license for I'm going to get a job driving.
Yeah. They're not going to reinstate your license until you
pay. You pay.
Yeah,
I did
I can
that
tell
to
you
my
that right now.
Man.
Yeah. That's
okay.
How they get you when you got that kind of stuff for parking tickets. So they have that lever. It's, you know, if you want your license back, pay the tickets. So you don't really have a choice there.
So if you pay, you can still dispute them. Once you if you pay to get it reinstated, can it be
yeah,
disputed?
Yeah, if you pay them, they'll do it. Yeah.
No, well, they would reinstate the license, but can I go back and try to get my money back?
Well, no.
No.
It's harder to do that than to do it. At the end of the day, if you give them a hard time, you can make money off the debt collector, depending on if you did everything correctly. That's irrelevant to reinstating your license. How much is the money is? How much is it to reinstate your license?
$1,500.
If you do this correctly and you do the dispute and you do all that stuff, you can the debt collector will probably pay to get your license reinstated. So,
okay.
But it's going to be how long is it going to take you to get that accomplished? You're not going to get it done in 30 days. In fact, you're probably not going to get it done in 60 days.
Listen, what I'm saying is this. Once you ring the bell, you can't unring it. So if he sets them up correctly real quickly and they violate, they violate. He can go ahead and pay and get everything done, but you can sue him after the fact and then get your money back that way.
Right.
Okay. So the first thing is send in the validation letter?
Yeah,
right.
You got to go and do a debt validation, yeah.
Yeah, you do your debt validation, then you need to study the FDCPA and the frequently violated FDCPA guidelines to see how they violate, if they do.
Right.
You got to educate yourself, okay?
Okay. Now, quick question with the templates that are on the website, I can use those for other things too. I had a car repossessed and they impounded it for 30 days where they I have to go to court and that because I'm disputing the driving without a license thing. But the tow company would not release the vehicle when I am trying to get it released. So they kept it for 30 days, and then now they have another 15 days before they auction it off. So I'm trying to get to see if I can use the template for the lawsuit. If the templates that you have on the website, would they be good for something like that?
I don't want to say yes. It's a good example. We don't have templates. We have examples.
Yeah.
So
okay.
As far as that goes, yes, you have. There's a good example there. But I don't want to say template. I hate that word because, you know, everybody's supposed to be individualizing their material. That's
right, all. Right, okay.
Because everybody's case is different, so just remember
right.
That.
Okay. So the example, I would be able to find an example that I can
Yeah, they're all disputes. Everything is a dispute. So, yeah, of course, it's all right there.
Dispute, okay.
Yeah, they're all doses of disputes. That's right. Is Larry with us
all right,
or is he
take,
dead?
That take care
I
haven't
heard a peep out of that man tonight.
Who's that?
I said, is poor Larry around or did he die? I haven't heard a peep.
Oh,
out.
No. He's here. He's lurking.
He's lurking. That's not a good thing, Larry. Makes it sound like a pervert.
It's got that fiendish sound to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. Get those disputes done and get in there and get those templates.
Yeah.
And my words are going to have that much back.
But the Monday calls, is that an open call or?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, Dave will
yep.
we'll go over that
yep.
at the end of this call. Dave will give all the instructions.
So. Right.
No
I'll
worries.
Make the announcements at the end of this call about Monday and Wednesday night calls. Okay?
Okay, wonderful. Thanks very
all
much.
Right. You bet. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Let's go to 678. 678, you've
yes.
been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yay, finally my turn. Okay. I am a new member. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the time is ticking here, but I'm going through an eviction in an apartment. So what I did was they sent the pink slip to me, and then I did the first creditor letter because I've been here since 2011. I live in Georgia. I've been in this apartment since 2011. And the company got bought out maybe November of 2013, October or November of 2013. And so I sent them the creditor letter, and then they sent me back the lease that was from March of 2014. And the ledger was from 2011 up until present. So it the ledger and the original lease from 2011 up to this point is off. The numbers are totally off. I just learned about robo-signers, so I'm looking through all of my leases, and it looks like just crazy signatures. This last one that I got, my rent jumped from $799 to $915. I did not sign that. There's mold in my apartment. I just had a forensic test done. I'm at the, this is the point where I am. I sent the creditor letter. The attorney sent me back that copy. Then I sent him another one asking for the entire file. He still sent me the one from March 2014. And my leasing agent, who has been with me for the last 2 years, I'm self-employed. I would go to her to tell her I wouldn't have my rent on this day. I would have it on this day, and she would accept it. And we've developed a relationship. Well, she comes to me the night before court, and we talk, and we want to work things out. Well, I miss court. And I didn't know the attorney was still going to show up for the company. So I had they dismissed my my rebuttal or answer. They dismissed that. And so now I have a failure to appear, plus I have the judgment, and they issued the writ. So I'm waiting. I guess my question is, which motion can I use at this point to take my case to federal court?
You've literally asked, and Dave, please correct me if I'm wrong, and do not be upset with me, but you have not asked a single thing. Dave, unless I miss something here,
Yeah, she threw out a bunch of information, but there's no real solid question. You didn't show up in court to defend yourself. That's a problem in itself right there. Because if you don't show up, that means that it, the way they, let's put it this way, the way they look at it is, well, you don't want to argue it. You don't care.
That's right.
So they're going to move forward. They're going to move to evict you because you didn't defend yourself. And honestly, I think you're in a pretty tough spot trying to do something.
Yeah.
Because of
yeah.
that.
Okay.
I mean, if you
I
showed
really,
up
yeah.
and you argued something and you lost, and then you wanna, you thought something was wrong, that's one thing. But the big problem comes in when you don't show up because then you default. And then they can
well, see,
move
I didn't
forward.
Know. I didn't know the law. I didn't know the law. Like, I just became a member with you guys, like,
yeah,
maybe a
yeah.
week and a half ago.
I'm just saying that the consequences of based on what the consequences are based on what you told us. you know, I wish you had found us a month sooner because you would know more. But Jesse, I don't really have a good suggestion at this point.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay.
I
well.
Wow.
Okay. Well, then, how hard is it to beat the creditors in Georgia? Then
it's not no harder there than it is anywhere else.
Okay. So why do I keep hearing?
You know,
why do I keep hearing electric from Georgia?
I believe you've probably got the basis for an FDCPA lawsuit against these people because, from the sounds of things, they've thrown a bunch of different figures at you, and they have misrepresented the amount and character of debt. So you've got an FDCPA claim against them.
And you may be confused a little bit here.
Okay.
The thing, Terry. Yeah, the thing with being in Georgia, sweetie, is that forget the state court level because the state of Georgia has absolutely no protection to offer you as a renter, as a consumer, as a little guy, even an employee. But in federal, you have an equal chance, the same chance that anybody has in any federal district in the country.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly what I was going to say, Terry.
So,
as far as
you know, them working on the eviction to move you out, I don't even begin to have a suggestion for you on that.
No. That wasn't the question I was asking because
yeah.
I moved all my stuff into storage. We're just waiting on the Marshall Sheriff to send us out with our blow up mattresses. We've got everything out.
Okay.
I've done
all right.
That.
Well then. If you want to go back and file an action against them, from what you've told us, and I'm just going by the information that you gave us here on the call, I believe you've very likely got an FDCPA claim against them, and you know maybe multiple defendants. You can only get $1,000 per defendant on the suit, but you know it depends on who all's involved. So you want to be studying in the taking their money section.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been studying. Also, let's see, one other question was it?
Got to make it quick because we're trying to keep things short.
Oh, gosh, it left me. But thank you anyway. So do I do a motion to recuse the judge?
No.
No, nothing?
There's no,
just go,
there's,
just go
there's no basis
the
for
show.
That. You didn't show up to defend yourself,
yeah,
unfortunately. Okay.
Well, yeah, they tricked me. Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I wish could have been more positive for you, but, you know, we got to tell it like it is. Okay, let's go to 978. 978, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Is that me?
I heard something. Come on, talk to us.
You're on.
Hello?
I'm on?
Yes.
Go ahead,
please.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Hello.
Sorry.
Hello. Oh, gosh.
FDCPA question. FIA card servicing sent me a letter for a debt, and I disputed the debt and telling them not to call any of my phones.
I just answered your question on the forum.
Did you? I just checked it.
Yeah, I
like
just did, literally,
ago.
30 seconds ago. Well, that's not just 10 minutes ago. Just is 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So here's the other question. Capital One calls my home phone, even though I send them a letter not to call any of my phones. Do I have a case here, and how?
Are you a member?
Yes.
Okay. You told them not to call you. Yeah. Now you said to call your home phone.
Yeah, home
phone. No, you don't. You don't necessarily have a case because it's the original creditor.
Well,
so you have to look at the state law on your part. The FDCPA won't apply.
Jesse, is the Capital One Servicing LLC now? It's not really Capital One.
Well, Larry, you want to chime in on that one? Because I know they got different ones, so if they've switched on you somehow, and are you behind on the payments?
Yeah, it was a credit card. It was a small amount. I haven't
a credit card
yet. Yes.
Who issued the credit card?
Capital One. Capital One.
Capital One what?
It was just Capital One. It said in the application.
Sure.
The
details
sure.
are important.
Yeah, these details are very, very important. That's right.
Here's the trick. The application was online, so I have no proof of what.
What shows up on your credit card?
Yeah, go ahead, Larry. That's where I was going to go. Yeah,
credit
yeah.
card, it shows Capital One only. Just simple.
What does it show on your statements?
Statement? Just a
yes.
second. I have it right here on the statement. Capital One.
There's probably going to be another word after Capital One.
And yeah. what is your credit?
On top, the pretty view, it says Capital One and nothing else. And it says CapitalOne.com solutions, / solutions. And in the
okay.
end, it says, yeah, and then it says send the check to Capital One Bank, USA, N.A.
There
you
go.
What does the back of your credit card itself say?
I don't have it here, so I'll check it. If it is different?
It's these words that come after the words Capital One that you have to pay attention to, because they have Capital One this, Capital One that, Capital One, you know, whatever. You have to look carefully. They do this intentionally to bamboozle and throw people off and deceive you. You have to look at the details.
It's not the same.
They're different companies.
Now, do I have a case for the phone calls?
Well, who was the original creditor?
Was the Capital One Bank USA N.A., and the callings are from Capital One Servicing LLC.
Different company, isn't it?
Servicing or
that's
servicing?
Not the original creditor.
It's Services. Capital
okay.
One Services LLC. If I have a case, what section, what part of TCPA?
FDCPA, TCPA, and probably FCRA. Have you checked your credit report?
Yes, it's only the bank, USA N.A.
On all three credit reports?
In all three of them.
Okay.
Are you a member?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Have you been studying in the website?
I'm reading and studying, and it's taking a long time to find the right part. I've been 3 days of reading and listening.
Okay. Well, you're not going to be able to eat the elephant in one bite in 2 days. It's going to take more time than that, and spending time on the calls, listening and learning on stuff. A couple days isn't going to get you all your answers, very honestly. I know everybody would love to have it be that quick and easy, but the reality is it's going to take more work than that. So you,
does
you
Capital
need
One
to
Service,
work on stuff.
Do you owe them money?
Once again?
Does Capital One Services say that you owe them money?
Yes, it does.
You mean when they call?
No, they try to tell me how to arrange a payment.
Payment to whom?
Well, they don't say that. To Capital One, they say, so not clear.
Okay.
I have to dig into it.
Yeah, these are the details. You have to get very clear in your mind before you proceed.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yep, keep studying, work on that, and then, you know, don't be afraid to come on the calls and ask us questions as you move forward with your studies, okay?
Thank you, Dave.
And use the webinar or the forum, too. Don't forget.
Yeah.
I'm doing that. Thank
All
you.
All right. All right. John, are you with us again here? I just saw you pop up here again.
I've been here.
I didn't know you dropped off again.
That's okay.
Sorry
no,
there.
No, no.
Yeah. Okay. 619. We're going to you. 619. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Well, I have a few unique questions. I got about three. The first one is about a TCPA. I settled a TCPA suit about a month ago, and I was listening to Terry's webinars. I went through Terry's webinars about the FCRA, and then I went through my credit reports. I found them on my report. But the thing is, I had already signed the
I just got done answering your question. Like, literally, just hit enter.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, and
okay,
you know what
well,
I answered? So you signed an agreement that prevents you in the future of going after them for future violations?
Yeah.
And that's nothing if that's what you did. Nothing. That's the answer. You can't do anything. You don't give up future rights ever.
Well, if you've got a situation, is are you the one that emailed me today?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. I had somebody emailed me today. They had a situation with somebody. They signed a settlement agreement for one thing, and then they came around and sued them in small claims court, the same outfit, for something else. And they're saying, wait a minute,
wow.
We have a settlement agreement with you. You signed off on everything. And what that person neglected to understand was they needed to look at the language. If they had any other issues, they shot themselves in the foot when they signed that settlement agreement because they agreed not to issues. So therefore, this individual had to go and back out of this and dismiss that suit and hope he doesn't get hit over the head for filing coming back at him in violation of the settlement agreement. You got to be real careful of that kind of stuff.
Right, right. So basically, I have a hole in my foot too.
Yeah, I want to caution everybody, when you get in a situation where you are reaching a settlement with somebody, settle all your issues with that entity at that time. Don't think, oh, well, I'm going to settle this and then I'm going to turn around and whack them again for something else. Uh-uh. Bring that stuff up and say, well, you know, okay, we've reached an agreement on this thing, but now we got that thing. Let's discuss that and see if we can come to a settlement. Resolve all your issues with whoever you're dealing with that you have that you know about up to that time, because any settlement agreement that you have is going to lock you out of going after them again for anything in the past from the date that you signed that agreement. That's going to be standard language in any settlement agreement that you have, so you got to be real careful of that, okay?
Okay, so I should have, during the settlement process, I should have asked, okay, so are you guys on my credit report or anything?
Yeah.
No,
all
you're doing is settling up.
No.
Listen, Dave, you got to just settle up the matters up and through this date that relate to this subject matter. That's it. You're not giving out everything else. You're not giving up everything.
Yeah.
If it's TCPA related, then that's what you're releasing. Any and all obligations or violations or whatever you want to word up through that date that's related to that subject matter. You can't just give up all your rights going forward.
Agreement.
Yeah.
They're going to write the agreement that states waive all claims against them, no matter what, until today's date.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just
sometimes they'll try to throw in any future claim. That's rare, but even if they do, that's not going to fly in a court.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did dispute it anyway when I found it on the report.
You don't ask them if they're on your credit report. You check your own credit report.
Yeah.
That's the first thing everybody should always do anyway.
Yeah. You don't ask somebody else, are you violating somewhere else? Because they're not going to tell you.
Why not?
Well,
really? I didn't know that.
But anyway, I hope this is a lesson learned for a couple of people. I know it was for the individual that emailed with me today, and I informed them that it was probably in his best interest to drop that suit real real PDQ. So
right.
The agreement probably says that you have to pay their attorney's fees if you sue them.
Probably, yeah, Larry. I
think it's
right.
I mean, I think that covers pretty much everything, and I didn't expect them to show up on the credit report.
Unfortunately, you made an assumption there. You know, you didn't expect them. You assumed they wouldn't be on there, and that's why everybody's heard me say so many times, you got to be careful making assumptions. Don't assume, get facts. Look, check, and like Larry has said so many times, Jesse has said it as well, check all avenues. Make sure before you go after somebody on a TCPA or an FDCPA, check your credit report. See if there's anything there so that you're dealing with all of the stuff at one time. Don't cover part of the consumer protection statutes. Look at everything underneath them all. Everybody should be checking their credit reports all the time anyway. You should be monitoring that. So, anyway,
Here's another angle. Are they still on your credit report?
They are, because I just disputed.
Have you sent a dispute letter to the credit reporting agencies?
I did.
When?
Last week.
Okay. Well, if it doesn't come off, then you've got a violation, a new violation. Just because they're in your credit report, that doesn't mean it's a violation of FCRA. In fact, it cannot be until you send that letter, those letters.
Right. Okay.
You have to give them an opportunity to correct.
Going after them anyway, though. And I just hope it comes off automatically. So
why would you want it to come off? That's the last thing you want. You wanted to stay on there after you send the letter, then you can sue them or threaten to sue them. They pay you more money, then it comes off.
Okay. I might take that angle. I'm just, I guess, want to get a little more versed in the study.
Right. You just got to understand the opportunities better. Keep listening to the calls.
Okay. I got another question.
That take care of you?
We got to do one question.
We got a ton of people in the queue. We can only do one question for each person right now.
All right. Can I get back in the queue then?
You can, but I don't think we'll get to you. There's a ton of people in here. We got to keep moving, okay?
All right.
There's call tomorrow night. I'll be announcing Terry's call. You can get on her call and ask that tomorrow night, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Let's go to 281. 281 down around Houston again.
Yeah, Houston area. Question for you guys dealing with TLOC, Home Equity Line of Credit. If you guys know.
Can you get off your speakerphone? It's hard to hear you.
No, I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay, well, maybe speak up a little closer to your mic then. It's harder to hear you.
Okay. I wanted to find out if you guys know, dealing with a HELOC in Texas. Texas is a non-judicial state. And if you're dealing with the HELOC where you've drawn on the line of credit, excuse me, then does that make if the bank then tries to come after you with a foreclosure, do they have to file suit because you drew money on the line of credit?
I would think that the HELOC has to be treated, okay? And, John, you can chime in because you know, too. It would have to be treated no different than a credit card, unless it's a second mortgage and recorded as a mortgage. There is differences.
Okay, like what if it's recorded as a second mortgage?
Well, you got to check. If it's recorded against the property as just a lien, okay, then it's not a mortgage. You got to look at the language that it's recorded as. That's very important.
Yeah,
so it's hard to answer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense or no?
Yeah, and I looked at it, and what they have is in the deed, it gives them the right to foreclose.
Okay, now what position are they in by any chance? Just curious.
Well, they were in second position, but since the first is paid off, now they're in first position.
Okay, so you paid off the first and you left the second hanging, huh?
Yes.
Well, God, I hate to say this to you, but is there any reason? I'm assuming they could come in and just foreclose. That is my gut instinct. Yeah, my gut instinct is that.
Yeah, but I thought if it's on a home equity line of credit, if you drew down on that, that then changes the ball game.
It does change the ball game, but the more important change is how is it recorded. That's really what it boils down to. They have to still sue you, but that would have to make it a suit
judicial?
Versus a
right.
Yeah, it would make it judicial versus a deed of trust. John,
yeah,
do you disagree with that? I think that they would have to.
You know, it gets complicated because there's a difference between a home equity loan and a home equity line of credit. In a home equity loan, there's a mortgage, which is the lien on the property, and then there's a note that's signed, which is the indebtedness. It's for a total sum of money, and, you know, the balance can vary. The balance can go up and down, but it's got a dead payoff date. Where a home equity line of credit can have an instrument that's recorded to be a lien on the property, but it's considered an open-end credit plan like a credit card, then you really have to dig into the terms of the agreement itself for the indebtedness. The mortgage can only be invoked, you know, foreclosure can only be invoked if there is a complete default. But you have to look at the term. You have to look at the terms completely in there, and what constitutes a default. Because if it's open ended and you've got a lot of balance left, they can just apply the fees and the interest to the balance, and you're just carrying it forward. Kind of like if you skip a credit card payment or something. You know, they're not going to write you off completely where you still have, unless you've maxed it all out. You know, after a couple payments, how many payments are you behind?
Well, it's close to being maxed out. I had a $50,000 line of credit, HELOC line of credit, where I could draw down to use for whatever, repairs, you know, whatever I wanted to use it for. And
you've used most of the $50,000. Right, we understand that. So
right.
What you've told us, it sounds like they have a lien on that, and my guess would be more than likely they're going to have to initiate judicial proceedings rather than have it. It's not going to act like a normal Texas foreclosure, non-judicial.
They'd have to sue you for it.
So
right, that's what I was thinking. And so that brings up the second question. So then, if they then try to do a foreclosure, acting like it was a first, is that a violation?
I don't know. It's not a violation of the FDCPA.
It doesn't matter. When the second one's gone out of position, they become the first position lien. It's based on priority of when they're recorded. So, but what I would be looking at is, if I were you, because it's an open-ended credit plan, more than likely it's been securitized. So any plaintiff that steps up probably isn't going to be the real party with standing.
Okay.
So you need
and
to send them a debt validation.
Send
them a debt validation letter and see what they come back with. If there's a servicer involved you make payments to, send them a qualified written request and demand to know who the owner of the indebtedness is. And if they don't respond on that, you're going to have a violation. And you just set them up for doing the FDCPA. And then if they sue you for RESPA and TILA is a defense, a counterclaim.
And speaking of it, I did send them a RESPA request. And it's Wells Fargo, who it is. They initially made the loan, the original creditor. I sent the QWR, sent it certified, and I got the green card back. I never did receive anything from them back to my PO box, which I had listed on the QWR.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different subject matter and a whole different question. So.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. We're
okay,
going to keep
you guys
moving
answer,
here.
So
we got
you...
some other people.
Okay.
Yeah, we
got to
keep moving, David. Yep.
Okay, guys. All right, thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. All right. Yeah, the clock's a ticking here. We want to get a few more people in. Boy, we got a lot of people in the queue tonight, big time. 216. 216, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello?
Good evening.
Hi, I'm calling. I posted a question on the forum regarding student loans. And since I have you on the line, I just wanted to ask. I sent a debt validation letter to the servicer, which had it, and then to it's U.S. Department of Education. I heard Jesse say on one call that there is like some sort of letter that we can send that'll, you know, basically get rid of everything, because I mean I've sent debt validation. They continue to send me statements, and they're misrepresenting the character and the amount of the alleged loan, and it changes virtually every month the amount that they're saying that's owed. And one initially was from the U.S. Department of Education, and the other one is from Fed Loan Servicing. I did some research on both companies. And I remember you saying another time, Jesse, that what we needed to do was to find out if the loans were securitized. I was unable to find any information regarding loans from U.S. Department of Education being securitized, but I was able to locate information regarding private loans being securitized. So I don't know like where I should go next, or
The only way you're going to find out for sure is through an audit of that particular loan, okay? And the attorney that I met with here in Florida regarding this said to me clearly that every single student loan in existence has been securitized into three trusts. So if you, I don't know the exact procedure, but if you put that on the form, I'll see if he will, if he is interested in actually taking some case related to that.
Okay.
And supposedly he does pretty damn good. But it's got, yeah, it's not just a letter you send. It's at the end of the day, you got to find out if it's securitized. That's what you got to find out.
Okay. Well, I did post on the forum, so I'm just, awaiting your response or, however you
I didn't see it. I just went through the whole forum, and I didn't see it. So I don't know. I went through every single.
Where did you post it?
Yeah.
I posted it on, I don't know exactly what it's called. It's just I went to the forum portion of the website, and then I posted my question. I don't know.
Well, the forum is broken down in all sorts of different areas, saving your home, TCPA. Taking their money. You had to have into one of those areas.
Yeah, and just spent half an hour going through the whole forum.
Okay,
so.
I just walked in the house and I was, I'm just logging on.
Well, it's no big deal. We don't have time for that tonight anyway on the call, I'll look at it.
Okay.
And
no problem.
I'll try to
post it again.
Get to you tomorrow on that. Yeah, just
repost
it again.
Yeah.
Okay, where would I post it? Because what I'm looking at now is
taking their money.
PhD.
It's always taking their money.
Yeah.
Always
taking
their money.
Their money,
okay, will do. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
Anytime it's debt collector related, you got to go to taking their money.
Right.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you. You guys have a great evening. Okay, bye-bye
you
now.
You too, sweetie.
Okay. And I've got to undo Jeff again here. We're going to go to 310. 310, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
I just have a kind of a general question. So creditors are not supposed to call on a cell phone, from what I understand. But this last weekend I was at this seminar, and I just happened to run into people who both do foreclosures, and then this other a person ran a medical billing company, and I was just curious. I said, are you really allowed to call people on their cell phone? And both of them said yes. Most people don't have a landline, and if that's their only phone and they are not on a do not call list, we can call them.
That's not true.
They didn't tell you the truth. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's so far
they
from
probably
truth.
Don't know
that's
the
ridiculous.
Law like we do.
Yep. Nope. And what were you doing at that kind of seminar anyway?
Oh, it was a seminar about how to buy notes. So I was just interested in that, and there was just a variety of
unfortunately for those
there.
People that you met, they're probably headed to Litigation Valley.
Yeah. They're going to litigation courses here pretty soon, I promise.
Yeah, because they all call
time,
their cell phone.
Listen, yeah, the only time anybody can call your cell phone is if you've allowed them to call your cell phone. if you have not given them explicit permission and consent to call your cell phone, they can't call your cell phone. Period.
Is there a do not call list I should subscribe to?
Of course, the national do not call registry list. Yeah, sure is.
Okay. All right.
And your state may have a call list, too.
Oh, okay.
The what?
For California.
Your state may have a do not call list also.
Yeah, Dave, what was that? In Missouri, it's $10,000 up to 10 grand or something?
That's in Kansas.
Kansas. So there you go,
actually,
young lady.
It can be, actually, depending on, yeah. Well, actually, depending on the circumstances, it can be as, in Kansas, it can be as much as 20,000 per call. But
there you go. So, you know, yes. Tell them
you need to study the law
in
Yeah. Need
well,
to
no,
study
I'm just saying
law,
maybe
shout out.
Tell them to
other people say.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen. They need to be at our website and our webinars instead of note buying webinars. It might save them a little money in the long run, you know.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we got to keep moving here. See if we can get a couple more people in.
Okay.
Thank you.
What is that noise? Oh, it's her. Okay, she's still there. Okay.
I think that's background noise on her end there.
No big deal.
Yeah. All right. 773. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello. You're on.
This is Wayne in Chicago. Let me take off the speaker real quick here. Okay.
Thank you, Wayne.
Hey, guys. This question is actually addressed to Jesse. Jesse, I'm helping out a friend of mine with a mortgage servicer who called their cell phone about an attempt to collect a debt when they were just a little bit behind on their payment. A little bit over 100 calls. Now, I know you were successful with your mortgage servicer with 60 grand. Is that what you did with that one? Is make sure that I'm
clear? Yeah, mine was only 50 calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm confused because, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, I talked to you guys before about with my wife, we beat this debt collector lawyer in California for 9 grand. And then also, you want to hear something funny, guys? My stepdaughter, which is my wife's daughter, was suing this other company's XB3, Merchant Credit Guide, for $9,500, and we got the same attorney. It's the same attorney that my wife had.
Same thing with David. He gets it. Anyway, hurry up with the question.
Yeah, but here's the question.
At the end of the day,
Jesse, so this was a mortgage servicer with TCPA. How can you, because I know these mortgage servicers, I never heard it with a mortgage servicer, but how could I get around the fact, because you know they're going to come back saying, oh, no, we were not calling as a debt collector. We was calling as your servicer.
You don't
how can
have
you get
to
around
the TCPA. Listen, you talk too fast and don't listen enough.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make
the
sure you understand my question.
I understand that TCPA, you have the same confusion 99% of everybody's call does. Has nothing to do with debt collection.
No, I understand that, Jesse. I understand
that.
You
wouldn't have
asked
me the question. You wouldn't have asked me the question if you understand that. If you call my cell phone just to say, go screw yourself, and I hadn't given you permission, you're going to write me a check. Simple as that. I don't care why you're calling. It doesn't matter why you're calling. You called. That's what matters.
Okay. What I'm trying to do, Jesse, is make sure that I distinguish the difference from when they called, okay, because like I said, I never done it with a mortgage servicer before. I did it with regular straight debt collectors. But what I'm saying to you, asking you is this. Okay, just because of the fact they said this is, they said that they were the servicer and the debt collector. You can't be both.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter what
matter.
They say. What does it matter? It could be your grandma. If you didn't you give me permission to call, you could actually sue your grandmother.
No, I understand all that. But what I'm trying to say, guys, is because it's your servicer and the servicer is considered the original.
No, you're not understanding.
Yeah, Wayne.
You say you understand, but you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. You don't get it.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Hold on here. Wayne, it forget who's calling. If somebody calls and they don't have your consent, it doesn't matter if it's the President of the United States. It's a violation, period. It doesn't matter what position, who thinks who is what or anything else. It doesn't matter.
The nature they are is irrelevant.
Your consent.
That's who they are and whether they're one party or another is a red herring.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I was just confused, guys, from the point where because this is the actual servicer, the real servicer, and
it
now they're calling it a debt.
Matter.
Okay, I got it now.
Okay, but you need to remember, everybody, you need to remember this. TCPA has zero to do with debt collection at all. It has nothing to do with it. It only has to do with people calling your cell phone that you didn't give permission to. End of story.
That's it. That's right.
That's
its purpose has purpose is irrelevant. The purpose of the call, the caller, all that is absolutely 100% irrelevant.
Doesn't
Okay, great. Okay,
great.
Yeah, we spent too much time
here. Real quick. I know you guys got some more, but Dave, I got to ask you because you said you get a lot of these calls. Now, I'm getting a ton of calls on my house phone from these, you know, people talking about, you know, they got this business. You can make $5,000 a week and all this crap.
Tell them, okay, you're in the do not call list?
Yes, I am.
Then that's
then,
it. It's an easy call.
Find out
you're
who
done.
They are. Yeah, identify them and sue them.
That's it.
Okay.
Simple.
Great. Okay, guys, that's it. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. All right. A little bit of confusion there, but hopefully we got that squared away
for
a lot
that
of
happens
people.
All the time, and they don't get it. Even attorneys are confused with that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
817, Fort Worth area. Is that a Keisha?
Hey, guys. Keisha. Yeah.
I knew
it. Hey, Keisha. How are you, sweetheart?
I know. I had to
all right.
All
we
got to
be quick here.
But my question is, Jesse, can you give me some more case law that I can probably use for foreclosure as an attempt to collect a debt? Now, I have the Wilson versus Draper, the Hines versus Jenkins, and I found another one called Thompson and something. But I'm doing this motion to dismiss, and I just want to make sure I got enough.
Well, you don't need 20. You only need one or two in your time. You don't need 20 of them.
Okay, so the three that I have should be sufficient.
Yeah, you know, Keisha, you're always overkill on everything.
If you get 14 of them, it's better than six. No, if you've got enough, you're giving support to your argument. That's all you need. You're showing other courts have ruled in the way that I'm arguing. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So those two or those three should be sufficient enough. Okay.
More than enough.
Okay. And then I just want to show you guys real quick. That's the reason why I had to get back to the line because I got a call from a creditor that I had told not to call my phone and to take me off their list back in June. Well, they keep calling me. So today, I mean, they're calling me like up to 10 times a day. So today when I talked to him again, I said, listen, I said, I'm not sure. You guys must be on an auto dialer system. That's why you just keep calling my phone, because I've told you guys on three different occasions not to call me. And she goes, oh, yes, we use the auto dialer, so we actually don't use it. I said, oh, okay, what's your name? And I took her name, her ID number.
Yeah.
She was really
good
sweet.
For you.
So now when I write my case, my complaint, I can make sure on this date I have her name, Vicky, with her case, her ID number, and my complaint that states that they do use it. So that should seal my deal.
There you go. Good for you.
There you
go. That's all I had was just to make sure I had enough there. But thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take one more quick call. One more quick call here, 404, and that's going to be it for tonight. 404.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
All right, great. All right. National Recoveries Incorporated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're collectors for student loans. One of my friends got some information from them, I want to say one day last week, okay? They're trying to make him a settlement offer. U.S. Department of Education is who he's got his has his defaulted student loans through. So they told him that if he made like 10 $5 payments, that would pull him out of default and he could go back to U.S. Department of Education. Is that true?
The hell do I know.
I have no idea.
Now, just
we're not student loan experts.
I don't know. We're trying to make sure that wasn't some of the debt collection. You know,
there's no way for us to know that.
Okay, just was curious.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'd love to answer 100% of the questions, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one we can't do a thing. All righty.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You bet. All right. We got to wrap it up there. I'm going to run through the calls that we got coming up. Tomorrow afternoon, John's going to be doing his webinar. John, you want to give everybody a quick preview of your webinar tomorrow? It's something that everybody should pay attention to.
Yeah, this one's, I don't think we've covered it on the site much before, but it's when you're being sued over a credit card, a motion to dismiss where it's securitized debt. And I've got an example of the securitization agreement from a real credit card securitization, and it's rather a long motion to dismiss, but you can use it. I've already covered in webinars two other motions to dismiss you can do, one before the answer, one after the answer, and this is one if you end up to the stage where they put in a motion for summary judgment, you can move to dismiss it for an improper plaintiff. So it's pretty comprehensive. You should be there.
Sounds good, John. And send me that information. I'll go ahead and put that securitization and that example on the actual credit card section. So rather than I think that would be good to have that there too.
It's a download on the site right now. Gary has it.
Oh, on the forum section or the webinar section, right?
Webinar section. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a zip file. The securitization's over 1,000 pages long. I want to say.
Oh, is that all? Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Just one of those.
So you're gonna he's starting his webinar at what, 6 in the morning? And won't be done until next Wednesday when it's time for somebody else?
Well, no, he actually is starting at 3 o'clock. But for all of you that are going to attend the webinar, please go there now and download it and have the whole thing read so that you have it in mind when John's speaking tomorrow.
Yeah, please.
You want to be like the judge where he goes, just dismissed. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah, really.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, anyway, you have to be a member to join in on that webinar tomorrow. So if you are one of the callers that's not a member, there's another good reason why you should get in there, get your membership set up, and be there at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow with John. I will be there. And tomorrow night, of course, is Terry's call, which is done on free conferencing. If you are not on Terry's mailing list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com and do it now. Do it immediately tonight because she sends the reminders out. If you wait until before the call tomorrow, you're probably not going to get the information you need. But get that. Just say, I want to be on the list. That's all you got to say in the email. And that starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, we go around through the weekend on Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern is Dallas Debt Discussion. We're in our sixth year. We're there every Monday. I've never missed a Monday since I started that. And that is on TalkShoe.com yet. The PIN number for that is 54318. And, again, that starts an hour later than these calls at 9 o'clock Eastern. So these calls are not a substitute for being a member of the website. If you think you're going to solve the issues that you've got by getting bits and pieces on these Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday calls, you're only kidding yourself. You're getting just that, bits and pieces. You need to be a member of the site, and then when you have questions about how things fit together, you come on the calls and get the clarification. So with that said, Jesse, you got anything to wrap it up with?
No. I appreciate everybody joining us, and again, like they said, if you're not a member, make the sacrifice. Get yourself signed up. You guys are missing out on the money. I'm telling you, I know between just three and the last 2 months, there's well over $150,000 just on TCPA alone.
Jesse,
that's it, just TCPA, yeah.
Somebody just sent me an email, and I can't answer it. I was off the line for a few minutes answering my other line, so I probably missed it, but it said, do you know what paper Jesse keeps talking about that was written or sent by Paul? I think on FDCPA. If so, can you please forward to me? I've looked at every email twice and about to pull my hair out.
There
I don't know
it.
What
it's not the FDCPA. That's the 5-year statute of limitations case that we just it's a brief.
Okay. Where was it that you were talking about that it was?
That is on the website. And it's the DORTA final brief, D-O-R-T-A.
Okay.
Just do a search for it. There it is. It should be right there. I think
okay,
he'll
I hope he's
anyway.
Still on the
yeah.
call because I couldn't answer that email. I didn't know what he was talking about. Thank
yeah,
you.
DORTA. D-O-R-T-A. So with that said, guys, God bless you guys. Have a great, great week. And we'll see most of you back 3 o'clock tomorrow with John.
All right.
Have a great night, guys. Some rest.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.